Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, or a nice cold one on a warm spring day hanging out on the deck. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the GM Shuffle.
What other is in the story is these guys having a Zoom call. Like, what are we doing on a Zoom call? What are we going to accomplish? You have a union to collectively bargain. We do know second contracts for running backs have a hard time sustaining themselves.
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
Welcome to another edition of the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. I'm your host, Femi Abebefe. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Our producer, Elliot Bowman, with us on the ones and twos. Michael, training camp week is here. My timeline over the weekend, I'm seeing football stuff. I saw Dan Campbell doing up-downs. I saw Garrett Wilson making toe-tapping touchdown grabs. We're back, man. We're back. This is a good time to be around.
I'm sure you are. Are you back at that window? What are you betting now? I'm sure you got a lot of thoughts on that mind of yours. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you're back to that window, convincing yourself of all this is going to happen. I saw Dave Ross came on our show yesterday, and he was talking about how he bet the Cowboys over 9.5. I'm sure you're right there with him.
He did bet the Cowboys over 9.5. He also has a Cowboys 2-1 to win the NFC East. I haven't bet any Cowboys team futures. I bet Parsons to win Defensive Player of the Year. So I'm invested in Micah Parsons playing well. And if he plays well, I think the Cowboys have a pretty damn good chance to be one of the best teams in the league. So that is my Cowboys investment. But there's still a lot of time between now and the start of the season. So we'll see what happens over the next 5 to 6 weeks here. It's gonna be a good time, though. But obviously, with training camp here, Michael, we're excited. Football's back, but there's also the downside of football, unfortunately, like injuries happen. And just this morning, I feel like we've been getting a bunch of injury news. I know I've talked about the Detroit Lions training camp with Dan Campbell doing all the up downs earlier this weekend. Well, unfortunately, there's free agent signing. Their safety and corner, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, suffered a non-contact knee injury. Now, we don't know what the diagnosis is. Obviously, everyone's hoping for the best, but kind of bracing for the worst. But whenever you hear non-contact knee injury, that just kind of, it makes your heart sink there as a GM or as a fan or even as a teammate. Like, this is kind of the downside of training camp coming back.
You know, it's part of why, you know, you can't just look at a team on paper and say they're going to go somewhere because you don't know the unpredictability of the injuries, right? Emmanuel Mosley started out, they signed him from San Francisco. You know, he's on PUP, which was expected. But this is going to give Brian Branch an opportunity. He's their second round pick from Alabama. It's going to give him an opportunity to see if he can play that nickel corner spot, you know, which is what Gardner Johnson does so well. He's kind of a hybrid. He's not really a safety. That's why he wasn't a blue or a red. He's kind of in between a little bit. But if you just put nickels, he's probably in that nickel category as a red. Yeah. And, you know, they're going to miss him. I mean, they're not good enough defensively to endure any injuries. So this is why it's so important to, you know, have a great offseason, but it's also important to have a great training camp and stay injury free. But you can't just not practice, because for all those people that say you shouldn't be practicing, this was a non-contact injury.
Yeah. It's like he was just running around and all of a sudden, unfortunately, his knee gave out there. So he was carted off the field. I mean, there were reporters who were there said that Jared Goff was trying to cart
you off. They don't cart you off unless it's bad. I mean, they go out there, they know instantly when the trainer comes out and does the moving the knee around here and there, he kind of has a sense of it. So unfortunately, that's not good news.
Yeah, that's not good news at all. Last season, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson led the league in interceptions, tied with Tariq Woolen with 6 of them for the Philadelphia Eagles. And Gardner-Johnson was a big addition to the secondary, and it looks like they're going to be without him for the foreseeable future here, probably the entire 2023 season. We'll obviously wait to see what the actual diagnosis is, but all signs coming out of Detroit are not good for their signing Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Also, the Buffalo Bills, Nyheim Hines, their running back, suffered a knee injury. He's going to miss the entire 2023 season. He was their kick returner, their punt returner, like was really good in the return game. And now that's a pretty big void that they have to fill.
Yeah. And, you know, look, and here's what I don't think fans understand when they hear this, right? So anytime a player is not in the building and he gets injured in recreational stuff, whether it's jet skiing, which is the case of Hines, right? Which is, you know, you can go jet skiing, you can go snow skiing. When he shows up, basically what that means is the club does not have to pay him any money. And so for that, he goes on non-football related injuries. So not only does the poor kid miss an entire season, there's a chance the Bills have no obligation to pay him at all, because this injury occurred outside the spectrum of the building and a football. So it's called non-football related injury. Now, you know, they've got James Cook, they got Damian Harris, they got Latavius Murray, they've got three backs. Who's going to be their nickelback remains to be seen, and certainly who's going to be the kickoff return guy. But I think I'm concerned more because what happens is these injuries that these guys get when they're messing around, you know, and then jet skiing is not messing around. You're trying to have a good time, but you got to think, right? If I get hurt here, I could cost myself the season. And unfortunately for Hines, it did.
Yeah. And I think it's almost like a more of a reminder for a lot of like the players out there. It's like, hey, like, yeah, it sounds great to go jet skiing. That sounds like a blast and all that stuff. But it's like, your body that's your livelihood. That's how you make money. That's how you are able to produce. It's like, you kind of have to make sure that you're staying careful around this time of the year, especially the closer we get to training camp. Like, it's an unfortunate situation. And like you mentioned, like, the Bills don't have to pay him anything because he injured himself outside of the team facility and outside of doing football stuff. So that's honestly, it's a bummer. And for Buffalo, it's like, hey, we got to figure out something in the return game. My guess is that they'll probably have James Cook maybe be that nickel guy for the running game and then in the passing game as well in there. But just to clarify it, Michael, I just want, because I'm sure fans will make this leap and say, oh, the Bills had a running back injury. Does this mean Dalvin Cook? Just let's address that right now. Like, this doesn't necessarily mean that they would ever go out into that market to try to get Dalvin Cook, right?
Well, I mean, I'm sure they would love to have Dalvin Cook if he wants to come in and play, as you know, as Brandon Bean said, that, you know, what about Hopkins if he wants to play for a Super Bowl? I'm sure they would love to have him. But if he wants substantial money, like is what he wants, and, you know, we know they're having a Zoom call, these running backs to discuss the whole salary structure within running backs, I would find it hard to believe that he's going to take a salary that would be commensurate to what, you know, what Buffalo could offer.
Yeah. Well, let's talk salary and let's talk dollars and cents, because there's something brewing in Kansas City. Their star defensive tackle, Chris Jones, did not report for training camp for day one. So he is now accruing fines. Entering the final year of his contract, he is owed $19.5 million in base salary, but he has no guaranteed money left on the contract. And this has been a big offseason and a big summer for defensive tackles making a lot of money. And we're talking about $90 million, $94 million contracts. Quinnen Williams just signed $96 million about 10 days ago or so. Do you think that we get this thing resolved anytime soon, or does this really start to put a little bit of pressure on Kansas City and put some pressure on Chris Jones?
Well, Chris Jones getting fined $50,000 a day. I mean, that's not nothing to sneeze at, right? So, you know, this whole system, this new collective bargaining agreement that has agreed to the players and, you know, the owners is really about, we do not want holdouts, whether it's rookie holdouts or veteran holdouts. We just don't. That's why we've had the sit-ins. That's why we've had the sit-ins. So, you know, Chris Jones comes in and you would think he would have come in and sat in, but he didn't. Look, you know, here's the issue, right? I think what the Chiefs have done a great job is sacrificing. Mahomes has sacrificed, and we know that Kelce has sacrificed. I mean, for Kelce to basically make $11.2 million this year with what I think he's got a $750,000 total package in roster bonuses, so he could make, let's say he makes $12 million. For him, at his skill set, to make less than Odell Beckham, to make less than a lot of these receivers. I mean, there's 18 wide receivers that make $18 million or more per year. And for Kelce, who is truly a wide receiver, to take this deal, he's really sacrificing for the team. So Kelce sacrificed for the team, and Mahomes does. You know, and if Jones holds out and you reward him, you know, and obviously they're going to extend his contract, and he certainly deserves it. He's one of the best players, 15 and a half sacks, 41, you know, 41 hurries, 15 knockdowns. I mean, he did everything that he needed to do from the inside tackle position. He's great. But to me, how do you then go to Mahomes and say, well, I understand, you know, you're now the eighth highest paid quarterback in the league? You know, I mean, so you got to do something there. Right? People say, well, he's more like Brady. Well, I get that. He's more like Brady. Right now, he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's the seventh highest rated quarterback in the league in terms of salary. And Josh Allen's 8. So, you know, you got to do something. I mean, Brady, they kept redoing Brady's deal and doing all that, maybe not on an average per year basis, but certainly on a guarantee. But I think that's where you get into. Look, you need to do Chris Jones's deal. But Chris Jones is really in a great spot, right? It's not like he's not getting the money. He's not getting cut, right? Mm-hmm. And there's no way you say he has no guarantee for next season. Yes, he does. His talent is his guarantee. He's not getting cut, right? He's not getting cut. He's going to earn his money. If he's injured, he's definitely going to earn it. And he's not getting cut for performance. So to say he doesn't have a guarantee is a little bit – it's a verbiage thing. It's not reality. And so the factor comes into here at play is then he becomes a free agent. Now he's in the defensive tackle market, which is ridiculously expensive, right? When you look at the positions, when you add all these defensive tackle positions, the interior defensive tackle, when you add them all into the new deal, that cap number, that franchise number is going to be enormous next year. So they're coming to you anyway. Like, I'm not sure what you're getting out of the holdout other than, you know, what do you want? Do you want Aaron Donald's? Do you want $29 million per year now? Is that what you want? I mean, to me, what are you getting out of it by doing it now? You know, by doing it now, you get future guarantees. So, but if you show up, I think you're going to get it a lot easier than by holding out.
Yeah. Well, reportedly, he does want that $29 to $30 million per year coming off a season where he was third in the Defensive Player of the Year voting, 15 and a half sacks, like we mentioned. But like the fact that he didn't do the sit-in, because I feel like oftentimes when we see the sit-in, that's the player being like, okay, like I want to get something done here. Obviously, I still respect the organization, but I just can't risk getting hurt. The fact that he didn't do the sit-in, does that mean that he's ready to move on from Kansas City and maybe his agent maybe starts to shop him around and tries to find a trade partner? Like, does it ever get to that point?
I can't imagine it could, because I think the Chiefs now, it did with Tyreek Hill, right? They got tired of that. But this is guy, and as great as Tyreek Hill is, they made that move. But, you know, they knew that they could draft maybe not somebody as good as Hill. Kelsey's was the best receiver on their team. But to me, this one, you take Chris Jones out of the defensive tackle position, they're not the same team defensively. They're just not, you know, and they've got a lot of younger players in the defensive front. But to me, I think that really hurts them. And I think that would be a real issue for them. So I think they got to try to figure out a way to get something done. I don't think he's smart for holding out, Femi. I think why would you even give away $50,000? And here's the thing. You can't not fine them. The rules say you have to fine them.
I did see that. That was a new tweak with the new CBA to where it's like you can't just – because in the past, they were just like, all right, we're fining you. And then once they actually came to an agreement, it's like, okay, we'll waive all the fines and we're all happy and hunky-dory. But now, like, you can't waive those. So I don't know, maybe you just make up the fines with a little bit of extra money on the contract and maybe kind of
work around that goes into the salary cap. That goes into the salary cap.
Which hurts the team, which is not what you want. So I think they'll get something done. He's way too valuable to be on that team for them not to have him. So we'll see what happens. But right now, Chris Jones missing training camp. We'll get to a guy, though, on the other side who showed up to training camp and is healthy and ready to go. We're talking Jimmy G next on the Shuffle. GMG. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds, and so much more. As the first round continues on, you can bet sides, totals, player props, everything at your disposal over on DraftKings. All you have to do, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SHUFFLE. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SHUFFLE only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
I think what I learned, Michael, is just to not try to say Jimmy G and GM Shuffle in the same sentence. I mean, that was just
horrendous.
going to bring it. But we're getting it back on track here. But everyone in Las Vegas, they're all shocked, man. They're like, everyone was concerned about the offseason. We talked about it on this podcast months ago about saying, hey, no need to fear. There's no concern. This is just a formality. Jimmy G will be ready to go and will not be on the pup list and will be good to go turn training camp time. And here he is. No pup list, passes the physical, and he'll be the Raiders starting quarterback behind center when they open camp. I believe that's coming up tomorrow. I believe it is.
Yeah. I mean, like, was that the most ridiculous story that was generated? I mean, it was just, you know, as the world we live in today, that we create a story and then we promote the story, even though the story's not true, right? You know, like, they make it out like the Raiders, you know, just all of a sudden found out about this deal and he wasn't going to do it. And so, you know, there was never a doubt he was going to pass the physical. What they wanted to ensure was, and the agent did a good job of working with them, is to make sure that he didn't get his money until he did, in case something dramatic happened, which that nobody expected, but you have to protect against. That's why you have insurance. And so, you know, to me, it's interesting. Is there going to be any kind of, you know, we were wrong on that story. Like, oh, you know, though everybody's going to say they were right on it. But the reality of it is it was never a story. Like, it was never really, that was the issue. They sat down. The reason they had time, they went over the contract. He took the physical. They wanted to make sure that the bone, the fifth, whatever it was in his foot, wasn't healing to the level the other ones were. So they made sure that he was going to be ready for the season. And to do that properly, you had to ensure that the club was protected in case something bad happened. It happens. It happens quite a bit. There's always waivers within the contract to protect both people.
I think what we're learning, and we've known this for quite some time, but the NFL offseason, there's a difference between a story and then content. Like, this was just content that people were like, oh, let's try to bring something up and make it seem like there's some sort of uncertainty here because it's in the dead period. We're after the draft and all this stuff is going on. But it's like, guys, I mean, he was going to be fine. Like, he's going to be fine.
I mean, but it's content that serves their interest, right? It's content that serves the interest. You know, Belichick's on the hot seat. You know, somebody doesn't like Belichick. That's the good content. We'll push that out there. Ron Rivera's not on a hot seat, you know, even though he hasn't had a winning season. But that's okay. We won't mention anything about that, right? You know, and then some agent who, you know, who's done something else on an illicit deals, we're never going to talk about that. But then, you know, we're going to kill some other agent who we don't like. It's all just, it's all like Asante Samuel. I don't like this guy, so I'm going to say stuff. It's all, what's the agenda? You know, where you can say, well, Lombardi, you have an agenda. No, I really don't. I mean, I think I'm fairly honest and I try to be. You know, I think it's important to your friends and it's important to the league that you cover to say what you think. You know, and sometimes it's not exactly the right thing that will sustain your friendship with somebody. I mean, look at Charles Barkley. He lost his friendship with Michael Jordan over just saying that he didn't think Jordan was a good owner or a good general manager, which happened to be true.
Yeah, which is, it's unfortunate that they lost that friendship, but that's how it goes in life sometimes, I guess. And Jimmy G, he is good to go. Someone who's not at Raiders camp, and according to reports, Josh Jacobs was seen at the Las Vegas airport leaving Las Vegas. So Josh Jacobs
doesn't sound like this is a story. Now, how is this a story? Seriously.
I don't know if they were staking things out. I haven't been by Harry Reid in a few weeks since I came back.
How is this a story, right? Does anybody expect these guys to come in? As we've said how many times on this pod, we want running backs to hold out, right? We want them to hold out. Like, it's okay. You can't get hurt or, you know, unless you do something stupid.
Yeah, don't go jet skiing.
You know, don't go jet skiing or don't ski or don't, you know, or don't do something dumb. But, like, we all expected this to be – like, these guys aren't coming in. Pollard signed his tender. But these other guys, Barkley and that – so why is their holdout news? It's not news. Now, you know, when they're going to come in 10 days, 5 days before training camp, they're going to get ready to play. I fully expect Jacobs, the competitor that he is. I mean, here's a guy that played last year in the Hall of Fame game, and he didn't think anything of it. He just went out there and played and showed everybody what he had. You know, you kind of like that about the guy. And here's the thing that's ridiculous is we act as if we're in the old time of contract negotiations. We start talking about these, like, he left town as if that's going to impact the negotiation, right? Like, that's not going to impact the there's no negotiation.
Yeah,
it's over.
There is none.
There's nothing to impact by reporting this. Like, it's a non-story. He was never coming to camp. He's not coming to camp. They're going to play three preseason games before his fucking ass ever shows up. So, like, seriously, like, why do we think he's going to show up? Why is this a story? Now, you know, do I think Barkley's going to show up? No. Do I think Barkley's a story? No, it's not a story either. If they don't show up, what other isn't a story is these guys having a Zoom call. Like, what are we doing on a Zoom call? What are we going to accomplish? You have a union to collectively bargain. You have two guys who didn't sign contracts that would have gone into the franchise pool number for next year. They certainly would have been more than the $10 million because everybody indicates that those contracts were fairly good. Now, here's what we do know. We do know second contracts for running backs have a hard time sustaining themselves. That's just fact. As much as I would love to sign Dalvin Cook, when you look at the data and you see all these guys who went into their second contracts, right? When you see all these guys who had the second contract and you look at them and you say, wait a minute. You know, is he worth it? Zeke Elliott's second contract, was he worth it? Le'Veon Bell's second contract, was he worth it? Even though he sat out of here, was he worth it? You start to come through. I think it's been like 20 contracts, 25 contracts of second year since 2015. And only four of the guys that legitimately, Alvin Kamara happens to be one of them, that got through the second contract. Eckler's actually one of them, and he took a pay cut. So, like, I don't know what they're going to accomplish with the Zoom call. It's a collectively bargained event.
Yeah, and honestly, it started with Todd Gurley with the Rams. Like, right. He had the knee thing coming in, and he was obviously really good on that first contract. They signed him, and then he wasn't the same. And then we're all watching a playoff game. We're like, where the hell's Todd Gurley? like, what's going on here? And, like, you know, he just never was the same player ever again, and that's what teams fear. And they're well within their right to fear that. I would fear that too if I was running an NFL team. I'm like, man, that's
I would.
How do you give these guys the money?
I mean, everybody that believes in analytics, this is like seriously analytical numbers. I mean, Lamar Miller, he actually, you know, he got into it. He tore his ACL. I mean, he had that second contract. So I think you got to be really careful. I mean, that's the problem. It's the position they play. It has nothing to do with. There's a full intent to ignore it. I mean, Aaron Jones took a pay cut, right? Mm-hmm. He took a pay cut. Hines took a pay cut, right? And the second, I mean, they all took pay cuts. Leonard Fournette got released. I mean, you remember your boy DeMarco Murray? He had to take a pay cut in his second contract. Yeah. So, like, Devontae Freeman, remember him? He had to take one too. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just think to me, we're just it's almost just the noise. Like, what do they expect to accomplish on the Zoom call unless they're all going to hold out? How's that going to work?
Yeah, well, how that works is that you'll see a bunch of new running backs playing the position. How that works is, like, I don't know. Like, they'll call somebody up. I mean, we just had the XFL and the USFL seasons just end. Maybe those guys would get the call and say, all right, come join us now. And like we talked about in the last podcast, it's like, unless you fundamentally change the CBA, nothing is going to change. So it's like, what are we doing here? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I don't think that the players union would even agree to fundamentally change the CBA just for one position group to benefit. We also have to think about that. Like, that would not happen either, even though, like, yeah, it sucks. And I wish those guys would get paid and I wish they could stay healthy, but it's just not the reality.
Yeah. But the other thing we're missing is it's called economics. It's called supply and demand. How are you changing that? You're going to tell the college kids you don't play running back, right?
Yeah, that's how you.
You're
going
to tell
it.
Them not to play running back? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a college
it's all supply and demand. It has nothing to do with an intent. Like, there's no malicious intent here. It's supply and demand. There's too many good running backs out there. There's, you know, I mean, I don't disagree. I would pay Jacobs more than I would pay Hunter Renfro, but that's just, you know, there's more running back, and then. Renfro's lifespan lasts longer, not past 30, but it lasts longer than a running back. They just take too many hits.
Yeah. It's like the conversation, it feels like we've gone in circles and circles and circles. And, like, for some reason, we still keep talking about it. It's like nothing is going to change. So, and there's no negotiation that can happen. Like you said, like the deadline is passed. They're literally, it's either don't play or play for the $10 million on the tag. Like, that's it. Like that's the entire conversation.
But I get them not wanting to come to camp. I fully get that. Yeah. I fully understand. Oh, so why is that news that he's at the Las Vegas airport? Like, why would he want to stay in 115 degree heat? Why not go back to Alabama and get to 90 degree heat with 100% humidity? I mean, why not? Right.
like we said, it's the difference between being a story and content. That apparently is content. We have a couple minutes left in the pod, Michael. Just real quick on Josh Harris. We talked about it last podcast saying, hey, this is what's going to happen later on today. But just your kind of final thoughts with Daniel Snyder now out, fined $60 million after the results of the investigation from the U.S. attorney Mary Jo White's investigation. So just final thoughts on kind of a new chapter now for the Washington Commanders.
I think this is going to be really hard for Josh Harris. And here's why. Because you're walking into a really toxic environment. And he can't really, the only way he's going to fix this mess is to really get involved with the organization and kind of get his feet on the ground in there. Because if he starts listening to other people in the building, then that's going to create more of a dissension. Because, you know, the president, I'm friends with the president, so I'm safe. But you're not friends with the president, so you're not safe. You follow me? The bias starts to enter in.
Yeah.
And this is going to be really difficult for Harris to negotiate within that building. I mean, the best thing he can do is do nothing and just watch for 100 days and ask the coaches, hey, what can I give you to make this a better team? And let everybody know that for the next 100 days, he's going to be fully transparent and just watch and make no decisions and listen to nobody, collect his own information. But what will happen is he'll listen to the league office. He'll listen to some of the people and they'll still have difficulties. I think, look, their win total at 6.5, I think, is undervalued. I really do. I think they can get that. They can certainly win more. They have a good team. They just need to have a good execution of the strategy of the year.
Yeah, and we talked about it on the Lombardi line over the weekend. It's like it kind of has to have the whole organization go through a detox and scrub everything from the Daniel Snyder era, because that obviously was a toxic era for that organization. And we're hoping that Josh Harris can go ahead and reignite that fan base down in our nation's capital, because the NFL really needs it. That does it for this edition of the GM Shuffle podcast. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Our producer, Elliot Bowman, with us on the ones and twos. Thank you to him. Thank you to you, Michael. We fought through some tech difficulties today, but we'll be back at it on Thursday with blue chips, red chips, talking linebackers, off-ball linebackers, and edge rushing linebackers. We'll do that on Thursday. So be well, everyone. We'll talk to you guys coming up on Thursday.